So welcome to Real Life Church today. And let's just, we've got about an hour to go, thereabouts. This is where we're going to go. We want to head to where we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit today. I mean, the Holy Spirit's here already. And so I'm going to bring a message. I'll only speak just for a few moments. Okay. I won't speak for very long. But the aim of it is this, is that we just want to build faith here today. And, you know, stuff's happening out there. I don't want to mention that particular word of what's happening out there. You've heard it in the news for the last 2 years. But we're here. And for people at home, this is our time just to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And just to be strengthened and just to be encouraged. And so at the end of the service, we're just given an opportunity for miracles. And just for, God still does miracles. An interesting thing happened to me at the gym yesterday. Gym's pretty routine. My brain's not even engaged while I'm there. But I just went there just to do what I do. And a man stopped me. I don't know if he's here this morning. If you are, Siad, welcome to Real Life Church. But he just, there wasn't many people there, but he stopped me and said, hello. And I said, oh, hello. And one rule at the gym is you never interrupt a man when he's doing a workout. That's the unspoken rule. You don't ask him for anything, you let him work. But he stopped me. And so I said, hi, and he just asked me about the routine that I'm following. We engaged in that. And then the things turned to the things of God. And he's a Muslim man, and he wanted to talk about miracles. And he wanted to talk about, does God still heal people today? And the discussion went around different places, but I said, absolutely. God still does miracles today. And I says, you know, Tono is a pastor of the church, says, just over there. There's miracles happening all the time. And so you've come in here today and miracles can happen for you today in Jesus' name. So I want you to know that's where we're headed. But what I would like us to do is just pray right now. I just feel like we just need to pray for our families, everybody, right now. Could you stand with me? Let's just pray. You know, picture your family. Just why don't you start praying for them, you know, in your heart. And just pray. Come on. Pray for your kids, your grandkids, your partner, your parents. Just pray. Just come on, pray. Pray. People you love, pray for them. Pray for them. Yeah, hallelujah. And God hears all of our prayers at the same time. And so, Father, we just come before you and we just, right now in this service, before anything else, we just pray for our families. You've put us in the families that we belong to. Lord, you trust us with our family members that we will pray for them. And so we just pray for our family. We pray for our children today. We pray for our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We pray for our partners. We pray for our parents. We pray for our uncles and aunts, our brothers and sisters. We pray for our families today. We pray, Lord, that we will be blessed here today, but we pray that our children, our families will have a visitation of God the Holy Spirit upon them wherever they are. We pray our children and our family will be favored by the Lord. We pray all of our family will turn to the Lord and seek His holy face. This is what we pray for our families today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted, hallelujah. Please be seated, everybody. And Jess, I'm going to ask you to come up because Jess has just got a testimony. See, miracles still happen, Jess. Is that right? So, yeah, you could use my mic. Here we go.
The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. So I'm here to glorify Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I'm a hairdresser, for those of you who don't know me. And I had real bad pain in my left hand and I couldn't even hold the dryer. And I was struggling, really struggling with pain. And I literally thought of selling my shop. So last week, I came to Pastor David and I said, because Ian said, look, I was crying with the pain. And he said, you can't do this anymore. And I came to Pastor David and I told him what had happened. And, well, I called for backup. I got on my knees and I just said, Jesus, please help me. Is this what you want for me to sell my shop? Because to me, that's my ministry. That's where Jesus uses me. So Long story short, I thank all my brothers and sisters for praying for me. Wednesday before last, at the Connect group, everybody prayed for me. And Thursday morning, I woke up, the pain was very less. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to get excited as yet. I will wait, Lord. And that evening, I went back home and I said, Ian, I've got no pain. I said, there is no pain in my hand, completely gone. And Ian just teared up and he said, I've been uplifting you all day. And from that day, I'm here to give Jesus all the glory. I have zero pain, zero pain, completely gone, completely gone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Wasn't that good? And that's real. That's a real life story. And thank the Lord that she can continue to do the ladies' hair. Amen, ladies. Isn't that good? Now, I just got a message I want to bring. Before we did, I did say last week that you see such a variety of masks when you stand at the front. I've got the surgical kind with me today, but I've got my favourite that I've left at home. But I did say that some of them are very colourful, and I thought I'd give a prize to the person who's got them. You remember that when I said that? Yeah, yeah, three of you remember it, amen. So how about, let me just check out the masks. Actually, I think Russell is pretty good. I'm just checking. Okay, Russell, could you stand to your feet, please? Yeah, could you come to the front? Come to the front, Russell. There's bars of chocolate. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, give it to him after. Now, I think yours is pretty good. I think Daniel's is pretty good. So come forward. Anybody else want to challenge these two that you think? No, mine's up there. That's some have got some interesting patterns. Yeah. Some actually, Aaron, yours is pretty good. I really like yours. Could you come to the front, please? Come over here so people on camera can see you. Sorry, people at home, these are who we've got so far. And Aaron. Now, Aaron's is a little bit harder to see. It's not so colourful, but he's got some, what do you call them? Comic heroes on his mask. I reckon that's out there. That's pretty good. So we're going to choose the best by the volume of our clapping. Okay? Now, what you've got to be careful is that you don't stare at Russell's too long, because otherwise you get hypnotised by it. Amen. But okay, here we go. Good sportsmanship. Very good. I expect that from the youth leader. Okay, you ready, everybody? Okay, it was pretty close. But I've got an inbuilt clapometer. And I got to say, I think just by a smidge, it had to be Aaron. Had to be Aaron. So Aaron, when the service is finished, you come up to Pastor Rochelle. She has a bar of chocolate for you. How about that? For you. Put your hands together for the guys. Thank you. God bless you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We just pray you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. We pray for us here in the building that, Holy Spirit, you'll presence yourself with us in a mighty way. We pray for fresh revelation to come to us all. And we also pray for those watching online on YouTube and Facebook. Lord, we pray the presence of God with all of Real Life Church today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, so we're going to begin by reading, as we have been doing, Psalm 23. We're going to read from the King James Version. And I think it'd be terrific if we stood to our feet. What do you think, everybody? And we love the King James Version for Psalm 23. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you, everybody. You may be seated. And remember where we're headed today. We're going to be headed for miracles and prayer today. Last Sunday, we looked at verse 3 of Psalm 23, which says, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the King James Version. The NLT Version says in modern English, He, and I've put in brackets there, God, Jesus. The reason why I've done that is because when you're new to church, it can be a little bit confusing when people are talking about God. Then they're talking about Jesus. Then they're talking about the Holy Spirit. But it's all the same person. There's one God. And so I just put that in there. And sometimes another word we use is Lord. And so the Lord is my shepherd. Well, that's another word for God. So it's really important to remember that. But it says in modern English, He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Now, last Sunday, we looked only at the first part of this sentence that's in yellow on the screens. If you remember, I spoke about how the good shepherd leads us along the right paths. However, I said nothing about the second part of the sentence, which says, bringing honor to his name. And it's actually the second part of that sentence that I wish to focus on today. He guides me along right paths. We looked at that last week, bringing honor to his name. And I want to suggest to everybody today, I'm really trying hard not to shout right now. Amen. Who knows that I like to shout when I preach? Somebody said I shout too much. Okay, Rochelle, they don't reckon you. No, I'm just trying to be cool, calm and collected for a little while. Anyway, and then we'll warm up. What I want to suggest to you all is that tiny sentence, bringing honor to his name, is actually the most important statement in all of Psalm 23. It's so little. Nobody ever emphasizes it. It's so little, but it's actually the most important statement in the whole of Psalm 23. And this is because without that little statement attached to verse 3, Psalm 23 would be completely out of balance. You see, the reason why we love Psalm 23, and we were actually watching a Christian movie last night, and sure enough, what did they quote in Psalm 23? Everybody loves Psalm 23, Christians and non-Christians. Why? The reason why we love Psalm 23 is because it reassures us of God's faithfulness to us. It also reassures us that he meets our needs, amen. It also reassures us that he restores our soul. Pastor Bethwyn spoke about that a few weeks ago. And that he guides us along the right paths. And it also reassures us and reminds us that he's always with us. And that he prepares a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. And also that our cup of blessing overflows, amen. And finally, we love it because it tells us that we're being pursued by goodness and unfailing love. Wow, wow, wow. No wonder we love it. And all of that is just profoundly wonderful, amen. But without that little statement, bringing honor to his name, a person could, probably not anybody from Real Life Church, but a person could perhaps be mistaken for thinking that Psalm 23 is just all about the sheep. Some could even mistakenly conclude that it seems like God may be like a personal coach who cheers us on and assists the little sheep while they do life on earth. Nobody hears like that, of course. Amen. But thank God that that little statement, bringing honor to his name, is a safeguard and it's a balance to how we understand this beautiful psalm. See, Psalm 23 does describe how the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord, indeed does care for us, his sheep. Absolutely. But we would be very wrong to presume that this is because we deserve the Good Shepherd's care and favor. According to the Bible, no one deserves any of the good things that God promises throughout the scriptures, including those found in Psalm 23. We also learn from the Bible that no one is capable of doing anything good enough in order to earn the blessings that God's promised in Psalm 23. And that is because Almighty God owes you nothing. Almighty God owes us nothing, nothing at all. God is not in debt to you. He's not in debt to me. He's not obligated to bless our lives at all. On the contrary, we deserve to be rejected. We deserve to be abandoned by God because of our wickedness. That's the truth. That's the truth. And we can try, you can try, and be as holy and as righteous as possible. You know, as a lot of people do try hard. And you can try and minimize your sinning, but you will never be good enough to earn the good things promised in Psalm 23. All of those comforting blessings promised in Psalm 23 are not given to you because you've earned them, or because you deserve them, or because there's something particularly special about you. And neither of those blessings in Psalm 23 being given because God is feeling insecure and he needs to get people to like him. That's not why God's given them to us at all. See, Almighty God is supreme over all creation. He is the mighty Ancient of Days. Amen. He was here before the universe was created, and he always comes first. Hallelujah. Indeed, the Bible starts with the four words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The Bible does not start with my name. It doesn't say in the beginning, David. It doesn't start with your name. It starts with the name of God. In the beginning, God. And it's the God of the Bible that we're talking about today. Everything around us started with God. And God answers to no one. No one. Absolutely no one. He alone has the final say over all of creation, including your life and your future destiny. I'm telling you the truth today. Amen. All of creation was created by him, and all of creation was created for him. It's all his. And so I say to God, be all the honor, the praise and the glory today. Amen. Amen. Therefore, all the great favor, all of those wonderful blessings, all of that mercy and love that Psalm 23 promises flows from the heart of God because of God's own desire and his own choice, not because of obligation. And not because the sheep deserve it. Out of his rich generosity, out of his glorious and overwhelming grace, and a great cost to himself when Christ Jesus died on the cross, Almighty God has rescued us from our own foolishness and our rebellion and made us to be his own people. He did this. He did all of the saving. He did all of the rescuing, and he does all of the blessing, and he does it all without our help. And he did it all while we were still lost and undeserving. And the only way To inherit the good promises of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's not earned. We don't deserve it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's grace, 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 grace to us today. Therefore, to him, I say again, belongs all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Our little statement, bringing honor to his name, is intentionally inserted into Psalm 23 as a reminder to us that every good thing, not just the good shepherds leading us on the right path, but every good thing promised in Psalm 23 is calibrated to the first principle of the universe. What is the first principle of the universe? This is it. The first principle of the universe is that every action of God himself and every response of his creation must bring honor and glory to Almighty God. This is an eternal, non-negotiable principle. Hallelujah. Am I talking too fast? Are we all right? I'm going to read that first principle again. The first principle of the universe is that every action of God himself and every response of his creation must bring honor and glory to Almighty God. That's it. That's it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. He alone is worthy to be praised in heaven and on earth. You know, even the birds praise the Lord. I love to go for early morning walks. I just love it, especially when the birds wake up in the morning and all with their own songs. They just lift up the name of God. Creation responds to his glory and his greatness. I love it. I even love the galahs with their chatter. They're giving glory to God. Amen. Amen. Therefore, Psalm 23 could read, "The Lord is my shepherd. To the honor of his name. I shall not want. To the honor of his name. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. To the honor of his name. He leadeth me beside the still waters. To the honor of his name. He restoreth my soul. To the honor of his name. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. To the honor of his name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me to the honor of his name." Bring an honor to his name. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies," bringing honor to his name. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over," bringing honor to his name. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," bringing honor to his name. What a great way to read Psalm 23. God is first. You don't want to mess that one up. God is first. God is at the top. He's the beginning. He's the end, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And that overriding first principle of the universe is the filter or the lens through which we not only read Psalm 23, but indeed it's the lens through which we read the entire Bible. And only then, through that lens, will you have a balanced understanding of the Scriptures. To God be all the honor and all glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. To God be all the glory and all of the honor. Amen, amen. He comes first. He comes first. The reason why Australia's in a mess today is because people have put themselves first. You got to put God first. You want to live a blessed life? Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Humble yourself before the Lord and put him first, and he will bless you for that. However, you and I, we just dwell in a wicked world, don't we? Where there's just this ferocious tussle fight, if you like, for the top spot. Humanity is not comfortable with God being at the top. A lot of people hate God. The Bible says that, you know, before we got saved, that we were enemies of God. Humanity waves its fist of defiance at God, absolutely. And they're doing it just like they did at the Tower of Babel. People want to be at the top themselves. Notice me, like me, listen to me, make sure you agree with me. People want the praise and all the glory. People want others to listen to them. People want their rights. People argue for unearned entitlements. People don't want to be told by others. People despise authority. Who'd want to be the Prime Minister of Australia? Anybody here? Wow. People despise authority. People want control. People want their own top spot in their own little world. And our society has taken self-centeredness to a whole new disastrous level. And this wicked culture of the world, and we've got to call it out for what it is. It's pretty bad out there. This wicked culture of the world splashes onto us Christians. It splashes on you. Splashes on me without me even realizing it. And it splashes on us because we live in the world. We're not taken out of the world yet. We live here. And that's why Jesus prayed that mighty prayer for us in John chapter 17 about, Lord, keep us, because we're here in this terrible world. But what happens is it splashes on us. What happens is that we bring the values of the world into our Christian walk and into our theology without actually even realizing it. And so consequently, we become consumers of God instead of becoming servants of God. We attach Jesus to our busy lives instead of surrendering our lives to Him. Instead of being Jesus-centered, we are me-centered. And we don't even notice these things most of the times because it's really hard, because that's just the way culture is. Nobody else is doing different, you know. And so we don't notice that we're being immersed in the culture and that all of this stuff is splashing onto us. But I'm just saying today, it is splashing onto us. And so we live a life that is out of balance with what we were created for. And we stumble through life over our faith. And we forget that this faith journey that God has called us to is all about actually bringing honor to His name. We forget that. And so then the potential for spiritual disaster personally for each one of us is enormous. But thank God there is actually an antidote to protect us from being overwhelmed by the poison of self-centeredness that defines this fallen world. Would you like to know what the antidote is, everybody? Would you like to know? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway, even if you don't like it, amen. Matthew chapter 26 tells us an interesting story that reveals what this antidote is. It says this, verse 6 on the screen, it says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman, she doesn't even have a name here, does she? A woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume, and she poured it over all of it over his head. Imagine somebody doing that to you today. And it was a lot of perfume, everybody. She poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial." So just a few days out before his betrayal and his crucifixion, Jesus Christ was having dinner with some friends and his disciples. This nameless woman entered the house carrying a very expensive and beautiful bottle of perfume. And she broke the bottle, she went up to Jesus, and she poured the entire bottle all over his head. It probably was the most expensive item that she owned. And the beautiful smell and the aroma permeated throughout the entire house and out onto the streets without a doubt. However, the disciples, as we've just read, were indignant. They were shocked. And they said, "What a waste of quality perfume. What is the matter with you? It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. What a waste." You know, everybody, what the disciples said was true. The expensive perfume could have been sold. Yes, it could have been for a very high price. And it's true, many people could have been helped. But Jesus then would have startled the disciples with his response. He said this to them. He said, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me?" Well, that was an extraordinary response from Jesus because he loved and cared for the poor and the needy. He taught the importance of helping the disadvantaged. Absolutely. So the disciples knew this, so they fully expected Jesus to join with them in criticizing the woman for her waste. But Jesus did not see her being wasteful. Indeed, there was something going on in that room that the disciples clearly did not understand, but they should have known what was happening, but they did not pick it up. They forgot, perhaps, that sitting with them at the table having a meal was the promised Messiah. Perhaps their familiarity with Jesus caused them to momentarily take Jesus for granted. Have you ever taken the good things of the Lord for granted? They were used to having him around, and their minds were focused on other things. But this nameless woman, and I'm just wanting to make a point here, so tune right into this. This nameless woman unexpectedly broke into their mealtime to intentionally give Jesus Christ her best. Maybe she had been healed by Jesus of something in the past. Maybe she had been blind, now she could see. Maybe she'd been unable to walk, but Jesus healed her legs or her hip, amen. Maybe Jesus had spoken love and respect to her wounded soul. We don't know anything about her, but we do know this, is that she showed up to do something that was so important and significant that it was even more important than helping other people. She came to Jesus to give her best gift, very intentional. She was operating in the first principle of the universe. The first principle of the universe is that we must bring honor and glory to Almighty God. Is somebody listening today? See, everything else may be of great importance, absolutely. But nothing, 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 nothing is as important as the first principle of the universe. God comes first. And just for a few minutes, it was only a few minutes. They had all night to do whatever else they wanted to do. It was just for a few minutes. Jesus Christ was her total focus. Nothing else mattered for those few minutes. Nothing else. Not the jobs that needed to be done. She had jobs to do at home, I'm sure. Not the people who needed her attention. Not her career, that didn't matter at that moment. Not her friends, not her favorite TV show. Not her ambitions. This was time for Jesus Christ, the sovereign King of Kings. And she poured that expensive perfume on the head of Jesus, and it ran down into his beard, and it ran onto his clothes, because it would have been a lot of perfume. It was just so very, very messy. It was awkward, made the men awkward, made the disciples awkward. But it was just so powerful. And it was just so holy at the same time. Do you know you could be messy and awkward, but powerful and holy? Yes. Everybody else is looking at the messy and awkward, but the Holy Spirit's looking at the holy and powerful. And she did a good thing to Jesus Christ. Then just a few days later, when Jesus suffered, he took that sweet smell of perfume to the cross with him, because it would have still been in his beard. It was still on his clothes. While he suffered for the sins of the world, the smell of that perfume would have reminded him of that woman's worship. And worship is what she did. And ladies and gentlemen, worship of Almighty God is the antidote for the self-centeredness of our fallen world. That's the big point I'm wanting to make today. Watch the splash of the fallen world away with regular worship. Giving your best to Jesus Christ to honor his name is the essence of worship. To God be all the honor, praise, and glory. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Real Life Church said amen and amen. Would you stand with me, everybody? We're going to read Psalm 23 together. With that bit I've added there, bringing honor to his name. Would you read it with me? And then we're going to worship. And then we're going to have some miracles in this place this morning before we go home. Would you read with me? The Lord is my shepherd, bringing honor to his name. Let's start again. Hey, can you see the words, everybody? Here we go. Here we go. Read with me. The Lord is my shepherd, bringing honor to his name. I shall not want, bringing honor to his name. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, bringing honor to his name. He leadeth me beside the still waters, bringing honor to his name. He restoreth my soul, bringing honor to his name. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, bringing honor to his name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, bringing honor to his name. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, bringing honor to his name. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, bringing honor to his name. Come on, here we go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, bringing honor to his name. Amen.